You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Thank you, Jesus. Man, I love being in church with y'all up in here. Praise God, it's so good to be here. As we sang that song, even when the war's waged, even when the world fades, even when the fight cools, I'll take heart. I'm reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing out there saying, we won't bow down to that false god. Someone comes up and says, bow down, or they'll throw you in the furnace, in the fire. And what did they say? Our God is so powerful, he will save us from your furnace. But even if he did not, I'm going to praise him and I won't bow down. Come on, church, praise him. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. See, I tell you what, I'm not going to bow down. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop and it's beautiful, but sometimes we're in the valley. Hey, even when I'm in the valley, I'm not bowing down. I'm standing up. I got the King of Kings in my heart. Come on now. I'm going to praise his name no matter where I am, no matter what's going on. If the war's waged, the world fades, the fight cools, I'm in it. Amen. We're going to be in the fight, aren't we, church? Come on. That's good. That's good. It's so good to be here today. Jed was talking earlier about how when we walk into a dark room or a room filled with darkness, that we bring the light. We bring the light. We bring something different, something powerful, something uplifting, something life-changing. It's called the anointing of God. It's his presence. It's his power. Reminded me of when I used to be afraid of airplanes because, let's be real, a big tin can in the sky is a stupid idea. Like, for real, you know? I always used to say, if God wanted us to fly, he'd have given us wings. Not Red Bull, wings. And so anyway, I used to be afraid of flying. And until I realized, and it sounds like I'm joking, but I'm for real. Until I realized that when I step on the plane got safer. The plane got stronger. When I step on the plane, oh, it's good for my person sitting next to me. I made it safer because I carry the anointing of God and he has a purpose for my life and he ain't done yet. So I save their lives. That's right. Come on now. Save their lives. And it's the same with you. When you walk into a room, when you walk into your workplace, when you enter into a conversation with somebody who's overcome with darkness, you bring the light. You bring the anointing. You bring the power and the presence of God. You're saving their lives by being in their lives. Isn't that good? We carry it everywhere we go. Praise God. You may take your seat, high five your neighbor, and say, when I dream, I need to ask for your forgiveness today. Actually, before we get into that, if you're new here, now you're like, you can't just yell that out and move on. Well, I will, because I've got the microphone. If you're new here, we've got a welcome box for you. It's full of good things. There's just really nice t-shirts in there. They're not the $2 or $3 version that, you know, you can get printed. We've got the good stuff in there. We got your nice t-shirt. We got a notebook in there, a journal so you can take sermon notes and things like that. We got a pen and some information about the church and how you can connect. So grab that box on your way out the door from the Connection Lounge if you're new. That'd be fantastic. Who wants this one? Come and run up and get it. Whoever. Someone run up and get it. There we go. Now, just so you know, it's a quadruple extra large, so you'll have to give that t-shirt to somebody else, mate. Or shrink it, yeah, do that. And so, hey, forgive me, I got to be honest with you, I got like 30,000 different things running through my head, and so I wrote them all down to share with you. We're going to be here to midnight. You ready for that? Come on now. It's a long sermon today. 30,000 points. No, I got here yesterday early, came to church a few hours early and just said, God, we're going to need to narrow this down a wee bit. This is a bit too broad. What's going on in here? I've got a lot of stuff flying around my mind. Narrowed it down to 1,000. So you ready for my 1,000-point sermon? Boom. Come on now. Block out your calendars. Cancel dinner. We're going to be here a long time. I'm just kidding. It's going to be all right. But I do need to ask for forgiveness. I might seem a bit scattered, but I'm really excited about what the Lord has laid on my heart. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to go to Mark chapter 8, verse 22. While you're on the way there, I just want to tell you again that that this morning, three people gave their lives to Jesus, two people last night, praying for more people today. If you don't know Jesus, I'm glad you're here. I pray you just open up your heart, be willing to receive and hear what God is going to say and do in this place. If you do that, I promise you, you'll leave here not a better person, but in a better position than you were when you came in here, okay? So that would be awesome. You got Mark chapter 8? Yeah. All right. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand. He took the blind man by the hand. I love that our church is becoming known for the church that'll take the blind man by the hand. Somebody who's broken, somebody who's hurting, someone who's lacking, someone who needs something. People know that, hey, you need to take that person to Jesus. You need to take that person to Eternity Church. Jesus is there. Somebody in that church will take you by the hand. Something will happen at that place that'll change your life. Amen. And so Jesus took him by the hand and led him outside the village. And he spat on the man's eyes, put his hands on him, and Jesus said, "Do you see anything?" He wiped his spit off. He looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and his eyes were opened up, his sight restored. And he saw everything clearly, and Jesus said to him, "Do not go into the village." Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're a miracle-working God, that you were in the Old Testament, that you were in the New Testament, and that you are today. God, we come here today saying we open up our hearts, we open up our lives, we want to receive from you. We want you to do a miracle in our hearts, in our bodies. Lord God, in our eyes, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, all that you'll have for us today. God, we commit this time to you, and I ask you to sustain me, my voice, give me the strength, Lord God, to speak what you have ordained be preached today in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, this is the only time in all of Scripture that Jesus did a two-step miracle. See, remember when he walked up to a demon-possessed guy and the guy goes, "Our name is Legion." And Jesus cast the demons out into the pigs. And they all run off a cliff. It's my kids' favorite Bible story because we've got it in illustration where you watch the kids fly, the pigs fly off the cliff. And it's they like, "Do it again, Dad." I'm like, "Click." And, "Do it again, Dad." Click. "Do it again." Ha, ha, ha. You know, they love it, right? In that story, it did not go. And God and Jesus cast out all of the pigs, demons bar three. And then he said to the man, "How do you feel?" And he goes, "I feel like there's three demons in me still." And then Jesus cast those three out and didn't happen. There wasn't a crippled man being lowered through the ceiling of a building, through the roof of a mud building. There wasn't a crippled man come down and Jesus healed his left leg and said, "Go walk." And the guy's like, "The other one still doesn't work yet." And Jesus is like, "Okay, now they're both healed." It didn't happen. This is the only time in Scripture that it was a two-step miracle. And so I've heard so many stories and explanations about why that happened at this miracle. The man's faith was weak, or it was two separate miracles, one being his eyes to see, the other being his brain to recognize. Man, we can get creative, can't we, when we try and explain things away. The man had too much sin in his life, and I'm like, "Well, I'm screwed." Or I've even heard people say that Jesus had weak days, and so do we. So relax, when you have a weak day, God made you like him. I'm like, absolute rubbish. That is trash. Someone say boo. Don't boo in church. Come on now. The man's faith wasn't weak, and even if it was, it didn't matter. Jesus was in front of him. You got weak faith, like that matters when Jesus Christ is putting his hand on your head. Come on now. Give me a break. Faith as small as a mustard seed is enough. Amen. faith that's only, see, a mustard seed is the beginning of a mustard tree. Faith that is only the beginning of faith is enough, church, to do a miracle in your life. It was not two separate miracles. Come on now, let's not try to explain things away. He had sin for sure. You know how I know? He was a dude. He had sin in his life. I don't think I've ever stood before you without having sinned at some point before I got here. Some of y'all are like, oh my goodness, he's human. Yeah, for real. Just like you, all right? I haven't had that. It is my goal that by the time I'm 45, I live a full 24 hours without sinning once. Yeah, I'll get to 25, it'll be all over, but I'm going to get to 24 one day. You know how I'm going to do it? NyQuil. All day. And then I will have lived 24 hours without sinning. Come on now. That wasn't the case. Your sin is not the determiner. Your behavior does not determine the power of God, church. Jesus died for us despite the fact that we were in sin at that time. And Jesus, who is God, did not have a weekday. Good grief. Although, you know what? We can be assured that in our weekdays that he is strong. See, I don't take heart knowing that God was weak sometimes too and then feel like it's okay for me to have mediocre faith. No, when I have a weekday, I rest assured that my God is strong all the time. When I feel poor, my God is rich all the time. When I feel broken, my God is a healer all the time. Amen. It was intentional. Jesus was intentional. So why then did this become a two-step process? See, if you back up a couple of chapters, you'll get a bit of understanding. See, the disciples had forgotten to bring the bread. Don't forget the bread. We all get hungry. Come on now. The disciples had forgotten to bring the bread. And Jesus tells them, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. The disciples are like, what? Does he think we're going to go ask the Pharisees for some yeast so we can make some bread? Because we don't even have flour. What is he talking about? And Jesus hears them discussing this and talking to one another. And he says to them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? So when you take that and you mix that with the next chapters where Jesus is doing this two-step miracle, you understand that Jesus is pointing out to them that it is possible to have eyes and still not see. They had eyes and didn't see. But then it's also possible to see and not understand what you're seeing. And so in this two-step miracle for these guys, they learn and understand the value of seeing in the natural and seeing in the supernatural. Because Scripture says that without vision, the people perish. Not just you people, but you on your own, Sammy. You on your own, Zeke. It's you. You need vision. You need eyes to see and a mind to understand. You need vision. If you don't have vision in your life will begin to rot and stink. You need vision. Anyone without vision will perish. So let's pause this story. We're going to come back to that in about 35 hours and finish that. And because I got 1,000 points, remember? We'll come back to that in a minute. I want to talk about my trip. I just got back from Australia on Wednesday. I was gone for a weekend. Can I tell you how good it feels to go to the place you grew up and not for a moment feel like you went home? That is exciting. It wasn't like, oh, it's home, but not home. It was just not home. It felt like a place I'd been before. You know, like when you go to New York and then, well, I haven't, but you might have. You've been here longer. You go to New York and then 20 years later, you go back to New York and you're like, oh, I remember that. I've been there before. That's what it felt like to me going back to Australia because this is my home and this is where the Lord put my heart, praise God. And it was exciting to be a tourist somewhere you spent 28 years. I got to go back, though. We surprised my dad. I hadn't seen him for nearly five and a half or so years. And my sister and my mom had him turn up to a party that he thought was my brother's quite late 30th birthday party. He wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed that day. And my dad's an absolute champion, and he's not a wimp, but he loves his kids and hadn't seen him for a long time. You want to see a video of when we surprised him at the birthday party? It only goes for a minute. We'll whack it up there.
All right, let's just go.
He's a good dude. He loves his kids. He wasn't being a wimp. He just hadn't seen his boy for 5.5 years. And you know, when you got kids, they'll always be your baby boy, won't they? I'm like a 35-year-old gray-bearded baby boy to that guy, so it is what it is. But it was really cool to go and surprise my dad. But you know what about this, though, to be honest? You know, it's not just Lauren and I that made a sacrifice to come here and plant this church and see what God's done. My family did too, and so I just wanted to honor my dad and just go, Dad, you're a champion. You made a sacrifice too. Your grandkids, your daughter-in-law, and even me. And so, but after that, we went to Wodonga. All right, everyone say Wodonga. Went to Wodonga, where I was the youth pastor 6 years ago, and I was invited to preach there. We only had 1 week in town, so I didn't really want to travel around, so I did morning and night at that church, and so that was really cool. It was really funny, actually, when we got there, people didn't recognize me until I got up to preach. They're like, who that dude over there? With the two bodyguards, because I had Chandler. Where's Chandler? Is he in here? I had Chandler as my bodyguard and John Lutz as his bodyguard. And John Lutz had nobody. He was the first line of defense. And so you got to make a sacrifice somewhere, and it was John, right? And so people are like, who's that? And but they didn't recognize, because like 6 years ago, I didn't have a beard. I had a bum chin instead. That's why I have a beard, by the way. I didn't have glasses because my eyes worked just fine back then. And I was 30 pounds lighter because, well, America, right? And so... And you know, Aussies are brutally honest, right? Have you met an Aussie other than me, right? Like, I'm not special. We're just all too honest, right? And so somebody come up to me after the second service at night, and they're like, I didn't think you were a good preacher. I thought, you know, you were crap or something. And so I didn't invite anyone to come in the morning, but wow, you've changed. That was really good. So here's my family. I brought them tonight and my friends. I'm like, you could have just said, good job, buddy. You know, like, that would have been fine. Instead, now I've got to average the compliment out with the insult, and now I'm average, you know? Like, I don't know what to do with that, but anyway. But the cool thing is, it was 6 years to the day that Lauren and I stood on that exact stage. It was a miracle. We didn't even know. We, like, figured it out after we were, like, basically leaving, that on that day, because, you know, leap years and stuff, on that day, 6 years ago, we stood on that very stage and said goodbye to all of our family and friends. And and there was tears, lots of tears, you know, because people were going to miss Lauren and the kids. And apparently there were tears of relief that they wouldn't have to listen to any of my sermons ever again. But at the time, I thought it was like, oh, we're going to miss him. But it was, oh, yes, praise the Lord. But anyway, we were on the exact same flights flying over here. That was crazy. Same flights, didn't even mean to. It was the booking lady, and she made that happen. So we're on the same flights at the same times. Melbourne, LA, LA, Chicago, Chicago, Des Moines at the same times on the same day. It was amazing. We're like, what on earth was that all about? And what's really cool is when you get on a plane in Melbourne, did you know you actually arrive in Los Angeles 4 hours before you leave Melbourne? Like, what? That's confusing, isn't it, right? It's completely confusing. But all of this got me really excited. It had me start thinking, all right, if these are the same flights and the same days and the same this and the same that, did we, like, what's going on here? Are we, like, what has God done in that time? In those 6 years, what has God done? Because today is 6 years ago to the day that I preached my first sermon in Des Moines as lead pastor here. Like, today is 6 years. I'm like, that's really crazy. So I started to think, what's happened since then? Like, our church has grown. I'm like just rounding it down, but our church has grown by over 2,000% since that day. Like, that's insane. And so I'm like, all right, God, this is cool. This is a great little moment of reflection. So today in our sermon, we're like hitting pause between our sermon series and Sunjay. And next week when I talk about worship, we're hitting pause and we're having a moment to look back, look forward, like the old country and western song said, all right? So we're just going to do that today. And as I look back at those 6 years, I wonder why. Why would God choose Lauren and I when there are way more qualified people, right? Now, don't get me wrong, my wife's amazing and she's great, but there were people who were more qualified for this gig than Lauren and I. We were not the most popular. She's wonderful, she's beautiful, but I was not the best looking. When you average us two together, it comes down, right? I had a bum chin, that's why I have a beard, come on. We were not the most educated at all, but I reckon, when I look at everyone that we knew around then, I reckon we were the most willing to lose anything and everything in pursuit of the kingdom of God and all that he has for us. And then I started to think, well, he chose us. Why did it actually work out? Like visas and stuff. The church did not have money. I turned up and I was like, hey, surprise. Church has 50 grand debt. I'm like, what? There's hardly anyone here. How did they do that? That's impressive. Like, wow. Finance 101. Don't borrow more thousands of dollars than you have people. Why did it actually work out? We didn't have money. The church didn't have resources other than the amazing people that were there then, which got added to with more amazing people every year, right? Why didn't, you know, we didn't feel like we met all the criteria, like Lauren and I, or the church, to get the visas or anything like that. But God meets all the criteria. Amen. See, you don't have to tick any boxes. God's ticked them all. Amen. He ticks every one of them every time. So then I'm like, had another thought. Because, you know, like, do any of you ever, like, get on Facebook and you're, like, 18 videos deep and you're like, how did I get here? Right? Do you ever do that? Right? Like, anyone ever get on Wikipedia? You should be asleep. Your phone shouldn't even be in your bedroom or in your bed with you, but it is. And so you're like, somebody said something on a TV show. And so you're like, yeah, I do want to like Wikipedia Apple, you know, and figure out how that all started. And then you click something, click something, click something, click something. And like, you know, once you're 24 clicks deep, you're looking at the price of fish in China and you have no idea how you got there. Hands up if you do that, right? Yeah, good. We're all just like, how did we get here? Some of you are literally like now just going, I just want to know how I got to this church today, right? Like, how did I get here? Well, that's what my sermon's like today, all right? We just go click, 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 and we just keep moving, all right? And so I got like one more click. I'm like, well, why has our church grown so much and so fast? See, we didn't have a church planting strategy. Apparently you're supposed to have one of those, like a plan. We didn't. There was no plan. When someone said, what church planning strategy did you have? The first time I heard it, like, you know, 3 or 4 years in, I'm like, where do you get those? That would have made this so much easier. If someone had told me there was already a strategy that I could have just done that. That would have been awesome. We had none. And I'm not even joking. You're like, none. Like, there was no plan. We didn't have a building. We leased this thing like 4.5 years ago or 5 years ago. We started leasing this gigantic building when we only had like 80 to 100 people coming at the time. And it was like, that's, you know, like we had the chairs split up with like rows that were like 8 feet apart. So it felt like we needed the space. And it was a lie. We didn't. We just were smart, right? And so we didn't have a bit. We didn't have any high profile connections. And you better believe we didn't have the wisdom. But we were obedient. We were obedient to God. We, Lauren and I, and everyone else who was here at the start, and then everyone else then, and then everyone else then, and then everyone else now, all of you, right? We had great faith. We worked really hard. We loved people, and we really loved God. We asked him for wisdom. Comes from God. And we realize that he is the highest profile connection in the world. So why does it continue? Because you got to click deeper again, right? I'm like, yeah, lots of churches grow at the start, but this is like 6 years in. This thing's still working. The wheels didn't fall off like the devil tried to make me think they would. He's a liar, right? He's a thief and a liar. And I'm like, well, why does it continue? Because we're still willing to lose everything in pursuit of everything he calls us to do. He still meets all the criteria. We're still obedient. We still have great faith. We all still work hard. We all still love people. We all love God even more. And we all still ask Him for wisdom. And He's still the greatest, highest, most high-profile connection in the world. Someone praise God in here. That's who we serve. Nothing has changed in our hearts. Nothing has changed in our love. Amen. Nothing has changed in our dreams. Things have only gotten better. I love that. Things have only gotten better. The scale and the speed have changed and made it better. Our capacity, mine and Lauren's capacity, has increased. 6 years ago, if you put me in a church of 800, I would have very quickly turned it into a church of 25. 2,000% shrink. That's how good I was. We are more willing to lose everything now than we ever were before. The more we get, the more we're willing to lose. Amen. That's the truth. We rely on His ability more than our own and more than we did then. We are more obedient. We have more faith. We work harder than we did then. We work smarter than we did then. We actually love people more now than we did then. You hear so many pastors, they get sick of dealing with people and they're like, I used to love people and now, man, I love people more now than I did then because I love Him more than I did then and He loves me. And I'm like, that is a miracle. We love God more now than ever. We're wiser than we were then. We rely more on supernatural wisdom now than we did then. And He is still the highest profile connection in the world. And we are more convinced now that He's all we need than we were then. All right? Amen. See, back then, Christian Walk, the lawyer, was our highest profile connection in the church. So we thought, but it was God who was our highest profile connection. Amen. Praise God, we still got them both. But if we had to choose, sorry, Christian, we're picking the boss. Y'all are like, is he going to be here next week? I hope so. I like him. You know, you don't need any more connections. You know, people always say that it's not what you know, but who you know. That's actually really true. It really is. And you got a guy. You got a guy. You know, if someone's going to want something and they're like, I got a guy. You got a guy. You got a guy. You need a healing? You got a guy. You need a pay raise at work? You got a guy. You need a new job? You got a guy. Yeah, yeah, come on. You need a restoration in your marriage? You got a guy. You got the guy. He is the guy. He's your God. He's your Savior. And He lives in you. You are connected to the most connected. Amen. You have the power of the most powerful. And He is the decider of what happens on earth. Not anybody else. Somebody praise God in here. You serve that God. So we got to click a little deeper now. I'm going to click again. Someone say click. All right, good. Very obedient, aren't you all today? You're like, well, you did say we're obedient in the message. So as I was praying about all of this and thinking about all this and all that God has done, I was reminded of the story of Abraham looking out over the mountains. And it's a story that I read 6.5 years ago, maybe between 6.5 and 7, as I was planning to come here. And it's in Genesis chapter 13. The Lord said to Abram, who was later to become Abraham, but at this point he was called Abram. If you don't understand, they're not two different people. It's the same guy. God changes people's names often in Scripture, like He changes who we are. He changes our names. And see, the world might have called you a loser. He calls you a winner. The world might have called you a failure. He calls you exactly what He called you to be. The world might call you stupid. He calls you designed by God, right? And so He changes names. He changes identity. They know you as a sinner. He knows you as righteous. Amen. So the Lord said to Abram, who was to become Abraham, that after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that you see, I will give you. So I got to thinking, what do I see? And in my head, I looked at what God has done. Souls have been saved every weekend without fail. There was a weekend that we had a guest speaker, and I was like, I'm going to show him how rad our church is because, you know, I'm the man. You know when you get a bit prideful? Come on, I do too. It's all right. Well, it's not right, but it does happen, right? And so I'm like, I'm excited. I'm like, he's going to see all this stuff. But it snowed 6 inches Saturday night. We didn't have a Saturday night service then. And it was 6 inches of snow on the ground in the morning, and this guy comes, and we had 30 people come to church. I'm like, yeah, I told you I'm good. Real good. But somebody got saved that day. Somebody got saved the day we had 30 people come to church. That's amazing. See, if you want to know, will we have church when it snows 6 feet? Yes. If you want to know, will we have church when it's ice rain? Yes. If it's just me up here on my own and no band, I will be here preaching. That's why we got a Suburban, baby, so we can get to church. No matter what, we will be here. Amen. We're coming to church, all right? So when you wake up and it's ice, don't message us saying, is church on? It's on. It's on, all right? Now, if it's not safe for you to get here, we won't judge you. And in a few weeks, we're going to launch live streaming. So you can do that. Now, don't be lazy and stay home. Just if you're like vomiting or something, right? If you got a headache, come to church and get healed, all right? They always say, if you got a headache, come to church. Their loud music will either heal you or make it worse, but it will be different when you leave, all right? Don't stay home, okay? People get saved every week. We don't cancel church. In January this year, over those 5 weeks, we averaged 799 people in church every week. Now, I don't know which one of you suckers didn't come for 5 weeks, but who hands up if you missed 1 week in January? Come on. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, out back. Let's go. Come on now. It's because of you it wasn't 800. Come on. Man, we hit like, oh my, anyway, we're done with that. A year and a half ago, we purchased this building. In a couple of weeks, we got great news actually this week. In a few weeks, we launched our renovations, finally. It's happening! Not in time for Easter, so, you know, we're going to pack them, stack them, and rack them in Easter. And our sardines up in here, get to church early, Good Friday, and then our three normal services. It's going to be amazing. So get involved in that. That's going to be great. We got great staff, great leaders, great givers, and great families. And I was thinking and talking about all of that. And then the Holy Spirit prompted me to look again, read it again. So I did. And you know what it says? Lift up your eyes from where you are. And then look forward. See, look from where you are. You know what I did? I went and looked from where I was. I went and started to look northward, eastward, southward, and westward from where I was to see that all God could do. But when I went back, I was looking at what God did do. God's like, yo, thank you for being grateful. That's cool. But right now I'm saying, look up from where you are and see what I can do from here. So the question now is, what do I see from here? And as I thought about that passage, I had thought about what I saw then, but God was asking me what I see now. So I did what we always do here. We talk in our teams about it all the time, about going for dream drives, a time where you just ask the Holy Spirit to flood your heart with hope so you can dream and think about what God could do. Y'all should do that sometimes. Get in a car, no agenda, drive towards Omaha, don't stop there, drive towards Omaha, and be like, God, speak to me. Fill my heart with hope so I can dream. Turn around and come back with a heart full of faith. Amen. So I went for a dream drive and thought, what do I see? It's hard to imagine what you see when God took what you did see and did imaginably more than you could ask or imagine back then. And now I'm trying to do that again. And so I'm seeing, knowing that God can do as God says and as God did, that He will do more than I could ever ask or imagine Him doing. See, the thing is, as I dream, I never dream about attaining a certain number of people attending church. Not because it's not important or I think it's humanistic. It's not. And that's not why I do that. It is important. And God wrote a whole book called Numbers. You know that, right? Like, Numbers, right? Like, it's a whole book. He's all right with numbers, all right? In fact, it's healthy to know the number. Every week, I know how many people were in the Saturday night service, Sunday morning service, second service Sunday. Every week, I know how many people were saved in each service. How much did we give in each service? How many kids were saved in kids' church? How many kids were in kids' church? How many kids We're in youth. How many were in youth? I know all the numbers. And it's good to know because anything that's not growing is dying, right? And so it's good to know there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not our destination. See, our vision in our church, it's not a destination. It's a direction and a culture. It's always moving. It's always growing. It's always the same direction. See, I'm going to say the sort of eight things that we talk about them all the time in our church. You know, it's kind of true that every single sermon I preach is always a little bit the same as the one before it because we have one culture here. And so I'm going to say these eight words. You will have all heard them before. But the things, the culture, the direction of our church that I dream about, it's salvation. It's worship. It's the presence of God. It's faith, generosity, friendship, hope, and it's transformation. See, these things are not things you arrive at. They're things that you do and things that you have. So as I dream, I see these eight things time and time again happening, yes, to thousands and thousands of people. I do see the crowds. Healthy things grow, church. And wise stewards make room for the growth. They steward the growth. So when I look at these things, when I look up from where I am and look north and south and east and west, you want to know what I see? Yes. All right, you three. Yeah. Anyone else want to know what I see? Yeah. You want to know? Cool, I'll tell you what I see. I see altar calls where hundreds of people give their lives to Jesus. Yeah, that's what I dream about when I dream about where we're going. I still do have the dream, see, numbers are okay, that one day we'll see over 1,000 souls saved in a weekend. And then it keep happening more and more. You know, Billy Graham, who actually died last week, very sad, a great man of God, was confronted with the decision, do I chase knowledge or souls? He chose souls. And we chose souls. Amen. I choose souls. I'm never going to stop preaching and teaching in a way that brings people far from God to a place where they accept Him and give Him their lives. And I'm never going to stop preaching in a way that draws you closer in your friendship with God. We're never going to stop doing that. I see a culture of worship where thousands of people worship the living God and love His presence too. I see rooms full of praise, rooms full of worship, rooms overflowing with the presence of God. Man, I want to keep talking about worship and the presence of God for like an hour, but I am preaching on that next week and I want you all to come back for it. All right, you want to hear about worship and the presence of God? Come next week. Come next week. It'll be awesome. Can I have the band come back up? I'm nearly done. I see a church with contagious culture of faith, where people have such great faith that they live on the edge. Take off the helmets. Take off the padding and live a dangerous life. Not afraid of the devil, because greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. I want to see a church with contagious faith. People who look at obstacles as opportunities for God to display His glory in our lives. A church that doesn't let obstacles get in the way or let lack get in the way of the mission. Amen. I see a church whose main priority is friendship with God and secondly, friendship with other people, where we will always be a church that cares about one person. One person. Someone asked me a little while ago because I was obsessing over making sure we looked after somebody. And they were like, why? Like, you've got all. And I'm like, because, you know, well, there may be 800 on Sundays, $7.99. And there may be, you know, 12, 13, 14, whatever it is, 100 different people that attend our church over a month, every month. But you know what? That one person still matters. That one, we're a church where the relationship with that one person matters. See, everything that we do will be about you having friendship here and friendship in heaven. Amen. And hope a church that brings hope to its community so much that the community would cry if the church left. I love that people in our community know that this place overflows with grace, with hope, with joy, with forgiveness. Amen. And lastly, a church that understands that it is God who transforms us. God that transforms us. It is the power and the presence of God that changes lives. It will never be our job, and we will never become the church who thinks it's our job to fix you or our job to fix people. That's not what we do. It is the power and the presence of God that transforms lives, not my finger of accusation. It is God Himself. And we want people to feel welcome, not just here, but in His presence. You see, they're welcome here because His presence is here. Because everyone's welcome in the presence of God. Because His presence is not exclusive. For it is in His presence that those that we would want to exclude are transformed into that which God truly designed them to be. It's in His presence that those we would want to exclude become those that we would want to include. We want people to be welcome in the presence of God. Oh, well, you're just soft on sin, Pastor Jesse. Yeah, no, that's not it. That's not it at all. We still believe, and we will always believe, that all that the Bible calls sin and destructive is sinful and destructive to our lives. We are just so wonderfully aware that He is the change maker. That it's not my job to come up with the timeline of sanctification in your life. It's not our job. He is the change maker. He is the life transformer. And He accepted all of us while we were deep in our own sin that day that Jesus died on the cross and said those three words, "It is finished." Who here is glad that you're in a church with a vision like that? Come on, who's glad you're in a church with a vision like that? I'm gonna land this plane real soon. Tell you what, if you're glad that you're in a church with a vision like that, I need you. Yeah, that's right. We always trick you into agreeing to things before we tell you what we want. Yep, I need you. And what I need from you and what we need from you and what your neighbor sitting next to you needs from you hasn't changed from the day we first begun. We've said it all the time and we'll say it again. We still need you to pray, serve, give, invite, and dine. We used to say pray, serve, give, invite, and eat, but that just seems so much more carnivorous than the others. So we just spruced it up, and we think dine really sums up what we're talking about a bit more, all right? But we need you to pray, serve, give, invite, and dine. If anything, we need you to do it more. Pray for people and your church more. Serve people and your church more. Give to people and give to your church more. Invite people to your home and invite people to your church more and dine with people more. That's what we need you to do. I need you to help make sure that we always will be prepared for what God is going to do, what He is doing, what He's continuing to do. We want people serving people who come. You need to serve because when your neighbor comes to church, there needs to be someone in kids' church teaching your children about the wonders and the glory of God. Needs to be someone at the door so when they walk in, it's not a cold door to open and nobody in there. It's somebody saying, "Yo, howdy, welcome to church." We need people serving people. We need people giving so we can steward the growth. We need people tithing plus giving to Kingdom Expansion, which is our missions and our future fund, and being generous out there too. We need people dining with people, loving people, praying for people, and inviting people to church. If you haven't invited anyone to church in the last 4 weeks, just get on that and get that done next week, all right? Don't wait for Easter. God can change their life next Sunday. Don't have to wait for next week, for Easter, eh? And can I tell you a secret? Pastor Jed, thanks. Pastor Jed, these things that we're asking you to do, these things that we're asking you to do for your church home are also things that will make your own home better. You know that? They will make your life outside of, but always intertwined with, better. So let's roll back to where we started. But remember, if you pray in your family, if you serve each other, if you're generous, if you invite people into your home, and you dine with people, you will raise a family that is generous and loving and kind and righteous and following the Lord. And all this brings us back to the start. Let us open up our eyes and see what God is going to do, because this is only the beginning. Open your eyes and see what God wants to do in your life. He doesn't only want to bless our church, He wants to bless a church full of individual people like you. That's you, right? Touch your neighbor and say, "That's you." Come on, touch your neighbor. I see you. I see you, Lindsay. Touch your neighbor. There we go. Like you, right? See, I've told you what I see for our church. I've told you how you can help. And now I want to ask you, as the Lord showed Abraham, look out over there. I want to ask you, what do you see in your family? What do you see in your life? For what righteous things you see, God will do. Have faith, dream, believe, ask and receive. What did Jesus say? You do not have because you do not ask. I just happened to take the word of God at face value. Oh, I don't have that because I didn't ask. As Jesus was showing the disciples, you need to see and believe that you have a great future. You were not created for mediocrity. You were created with purpose and on purpose. Would you stand up, church? It's time to have great faith and ask and believe. Lauren and I have always employed this thing called stupid faith, where our faith is so big that if God doesn't turn up, we just destroyed our lives. And that's what we did coming here. Now, don't do that in silly ways like, oh, I got faith that Rich Willis is going to give me that Jaguar parked out behind the church there so I can scratch it. No, that's dumb. Unless God tells you that Rich Willis is going to give you that Jaguar out there. And then you can go to the bank on that. If God says it, it's true, right? So we have faith in everything. We have stupid faith on everything that God has said to us. You weren't created for mediocrity. We're going to go about 6 minutes over time today. Please forgive me. But if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, you need to give him your life today. Just do it, right? Like, it will change your life. Wouldn't it be great if all the shame of your past would just be left in this room and just dissolved in the presence of God? Wouldn't it be great if all the stupid things you did just never mattered anymore? And we all didn't care and God didn't care? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be great if the crap that other people did to you or around you didn't affect you anymore? That's what he's offering you today. A new life. A fresh start. And he wants to come in and forgive all your sins, give you eternal life, and flood your heart with so much hope that you could dream again. So we're all going to pray a prayer. Scripture says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. So we're going to pray a prayer today. I'm going to say it one line at a time. I'd love for you all to repeat it after me, okay? Everyone in the room will do it. You will not be alone. But especially if you want to give your life to Jesus or you're far away from God, pray this prayer with me. Give him your life and get a fresh start today. So everybody after me, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. Please forgive me of the things I've done wrong. You call it sin. And help me to be and to live in all that you designed for me. I receive it all today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. If you could all close your eyes. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand if you prayed that prayer, right? So if you could all close your eyes. I'm not going to tell everyone who you are. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to run down to you and point to you or anything like that. I just want you to put up your hand so that from where I stand, I can pray for you where you stand, if that's all right. Just want to pray. Holy Spirit would bless your life right now. You'd walk out of here feeling renewed, okay? So if that's you, while no one's looking around, everyone close your eyes. You wouldn't watch someone sign their mortgage, so don't watch them make the biggest decision of their lives. Just give them some privacy. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, would you please just lift up your hand if you prayed that prayer so I can pray for you? Praise God. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand while no one else is looking around. Anybody else? Praise God. You may pop it down. You may pop it down. Heavenly Father, I pray for those 5 people that lifted up their hands today. Holy Spirit, come and flood their hearts right now with hope. Oh, they prayed the prayer, they've been forgiven, they've been set free, they are saved, they are going to spend eternity in heaven. But right now on earth, Lord God, I pray you flood their hearts with faith, with hope. Hope so they can dream again and see all the possibilities of the great things you might do in their lives. So God, I pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Renew them. Amen. Amen. Now you can praise the Lord. Come on. If you prayed that prayer, I need you to... If you prayed that prayer, I need you to text the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 25827. And if you do that today, someone from our church, one of our pastors, will call you and invite you to lunch this week. They will buy your lunch. They will rearrange their week to make sure that this week we can have lunch with you, because we want to share the wonder of God and all that He wants to do in your life right now. So text SAVED to S-A-V-E-D, SAVED, 25827, SAVED, 25827. God bless you. I'm going to walk off this stage now. If you're in this room and you need prayer, a miracle in your life, healing, financial, physical, workplace, marriage, relationships, whatever it is, God's a healing and a mighty powerful God, and He wants to touch your life. So come forward. Maybe you just need the scales to drop off your life and say, I can't see. God, flood my heart with hope so I can dream again. Then do that. Come forward and our team will pray for you. We'll close the service in about 4 minutes. So just come on up and worship Him.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.